Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We greet you on this fine resurrection morning. And every morning is resurrection morning for those that believe. Amen. Just think about it. Every day we get another chance. We have another opportunity. It can be a do-over or it can be a do-more. But every day is a new day. Hallelujah. And we're thankful that he is risen. We aren't talking about something that happened. We're talking about something that is happening in present tense in each and every life of those that believe. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. So Sister Baker and I were running a little late this morning for different reasons. We had our grandsons with us last night. It's not their fault that we were running late, but we were nevertheless. And when we got here, I was hesitant to take them over to Sunday school because we'd be taking them in late. And my grandson started getting teary-eyed. And I thought, you know, I wonder, wouldn't it be something if all of us got teary-eyed because we were late for church or weren't able to make it to church? Amen. Out of little babes, we can certainly learn things, huh? Praise the Lord. His mom went ahead and took him over anyway, and God bless her for that. And God forgive Grandma and Grandpa. Hallelujah. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he saith unto him, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now this is the office that he would be fulfilling throughout seven church ages. The Son of Man, he says, "Who do they say that I, the Son of Man, am?" He says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," now the Catholics say that the rock that Peter, Petra means stone, and that the church was built upon on Peter. God did not build the church on a man. In fact, he didn't build it on the man Jesus Christ either. He built it upon the revelation of Christ to each and every one. "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. No one can keep him from revealing himself to you. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars," plural, "of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth." And one more scripture from Exodus, the 23rd chapter, and the 20th verse. "Behold, I sent an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, to bring thee into the place which I have prepared." Amen. Amen. And we'd like to be remembered in prayer this morning. Father, as we bow our heads to the dust of the earth this morning, we're so thankful for this opportunity to be gathered together with those of like precious faith. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you for what this day represents, Lord, that a good part of the world has stopped and paused to reflect on what took place 2,000 years ago that was promised 6,000 years ago. And we're experiencing the effects of it here this morning. And we just thank you so much for your love and your mercy and your grace, for your forgiveness. And Lord, that we can come with confidence this morning and even with boldness. We can come before your throne with expectation and knowing that whatever we have need of, that we ask for, that you'll meet our requests and meet our needs. Now, Father, it's our desire that everyone would come to know you as we do. And Lord, that we would know you better and more and more, greater and greater as each day goes by. We love you and we thank you for the true meaning of Easter. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to share the good news of this great event that took place 2,000 years ago, but is still unfolding to those that will believe. Father, we ask that your blessings be upon each and every one. Be with those that are not able to be with us in service this morning. We pray that you'd heal them, lift them up, Lord, bring them back into fellowship. Pray that you bless those that are traveling and bring them back safely amongst us. And Father, may you be glorified this day and every day. We love you and we thank you now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So just a reminder, we will not be having a service here this evening, so you can spend time with family and what have you, and with Christ, and being the center of whatever we say or do this day, of course. So this morning we'd like to, it may seem a little strange, but you'll understand a little bit more here in a few minutes. We'd like to look further into the question that we asked last Sunday night, and the question is, who will go with us? And we realize that we've been invited as the Church of the Living God, as Christians, if you will, we've been invited to go on a journey. And our destination is a land that is promised to the Gentile overcomers of each of the seven church ages. And the land is a good land, and it is a blessed land. And the place that we are going to has been prepared for us ahead of time by the very same one that spoke the universe into existence. But how do we get to that place? And how can we be sure that we will get to that place? Who is it that will go with us? There are many dangers, there are many toils, many snares that are set up along the way to try to keep us from reaching our destination. So how can we be sure that we will actually get there? Who will guide us? Who will lead us to this place? We need somebody who will promise not to lead us into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. Somebody who will guide us, somebody that knows the way, somebody that will protect us and feed us and provide for us and comfort us, heal us, deliver us. Somebody that knows the way. Somebody who has passed this way before. Who is it that will go with us? That's the question we asked last Sunday night. It's the question we ask again this morning. In Matthew chapter 16, we read about a conversation that Jesus had with his disciples where he tells them himself that for the very first time we hear the term church used in the New Testament. Jesus uses it and he says, I'm going to build a church and I'm going to build it upon the revelation of who I am. I'm going to place each one in that body personally and I'm going to reveal myself to them by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I wonder how many of them thought, I bet if he's going to build a church, I bet it's going to be a beautiful building. No doubt greater than the one that Solomon built. And we know that many of the things that he spoke to his disciples while in the flesh, they were not revealed to them until after Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came and quickened them and filled each and every one of them with the promised life. So Jesus lets us know in Matthew chapter 16 that he's going to build a spiritual body, a bride body, which he calls a church, his church. And he's going to personally place each member in that body over seven ages, and he's going to reveal himself to each one personally. Recall, he's the one that's going to place each one in the body. And they will know him personally, each and every one. And they will be placed individually by him into that mystical body. Not revealing to them just who he was or who he will be, But he places each and every one in the body by revealing to each one who he is, present tense. And the only way that you can know him is for him to make himself known to you. And he tells Peter, I'm going to build a church over seven ages. And I'm going to place each living stone into that spiritual body by revealing myself to each one. Friends, the only way that you can know me, people can tell you all about me, but you never really know for sure what angle that they're coming from or what experiences that they've had. You know, it depends on their personality, what they might tell you about me. If you really want to know me personally, I have to reveal myself to you. You have to have a one-on-one relationship with me in order to know me. And I, as another human being, how much more the Christ, the Son of the living God. So he tells Peter, I'm going to build my church over seven ages, and I'm going to place each living stone, each lively stone, as Peter calls it, into that spiritual body by revealing myself to each and every one. And it is that revelation or revealing that will quicken them and that will show to them who I am, who they are, and will place them in that mystical body, each one having a position in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, friends, there are several places in our message where we are told that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the revelation of Jesus Christ to you personally. And the church is built upon the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And those that are baptized in the Holy Ghost will defeat the gates of their enemies, for the gates of hell will not prevail against them. From the message I Know, which was an Easter message that Brother Branham preached in 1960, he says, those people who had seen him open the eyes of the blind, seen him stand there and perceive the very thoughts that was in the people's hearts, how did he know? They'd say that them were coming after him. How did he know? Why didn't he know Judas would betray him? Why didn't he know the soldiers were coming up the mountains there with staves and swords and everything to get him if he could perceive their thoughts? See, the devil was working on them, putting them on an ash heap, for they wanted to give them a testimony of, I know. Not I guess, or perhaps it's so, but I know. I know. And remember, those trials, oh friends, listen this morning. Remember, those trials are brought upon you the same way, so that you'll say, not say, well, maybe this is right. Maybe the scripture is true. Maybe divine healing is right. Maybe the Holy Ghost is right. But when you get that experience and come off of that ash heap and you get the revelation of God by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can scream, I know my Redeemer liveth because he lives in me. Now, people will argue with you and differ with you and say, well, I don't see him, and how could he be living in you? But you know. And it doesn't matter. No, nobody can talk you out of it. Nobody can take it from you. You know. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, friends, this isn't just special for some. That's what's so key here. And I'm glad that God set it up this way. Every son or daughter of God is born of the Spirit of God and has a testimony of, I know. They don't sell off on the journey and, or excuse me, set off on the journey and follow the leadership of man, or and they don't know Christ by a second-handed testimony. My mom says, my dad says, that's wonderful. Pastor says, that's great. Brother Branham says, that's wonderful. But what about you? What do you have to say this morning? Each one meets the wagon train master personally, and he is their guide. And they will recognize his voice, and another they will not follow. Whether that voice speaks through a human flesh across the pulpit, or through a tape recording, or through the scriptures, they'll recognize that voice, because that voice is revealed to each and every one of us by the very one that's now living inside. And the church says, amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. From the Laodicean Church Age, this is our message here. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that you mightest see. He does not say to you that you have to buy this ISAV. Oh, no. There's no price tag on the Holy Spirit. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? Galatians chapter 3, verse 2. Without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can never have your eyes open to a true spiritual revelation of the word. A man without the Spirit is blind to God and his truth. Now, he's not, he can hear about God. He can hear the scriptures. He can hear about, and he can see signs of what he's doing amongst us, but he can't see God. God is still veiled to him. And the church says, you're taking somebody else's word for it, and it isn't revealed to you personally yet. Now, we all start out that way. So we're not being critical of this, but we've been introduced to him now. And we're on a first name basis and on a one-on-one fellowship with him. We all start at the very same place in our journey. Somebody else tells us the good news. How lovely are the feet of them that proclaim this good news, that preach the gospel. We need to hear the word preached. And not just in word only, but in power and demonstration. We need somebody to introduce us. Somebody to tell us about him. Amen. And they declare to us Jesus Christ and that he's not dead, but he's risen. He's alive and he's here right now to make himself known to you and to fill you and to lead you and to guide you every step of the way. So when Peter declared to Jesus, "Thou art the Christ," it was shown to Peter at that time that he was going to be the Christ throughout the church ages. But it was not yet revealed to Peter. That revelation would truly break on Peter on the day of Pentecost. And he would say, this is that. It was shown to him. He perceived that. The Father showed that to him. But it became a full revelation when he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine walking with Jesus and then being told that the very life that was in him would now come and live in you? After his death, burial, and resurrection? Oh, friends, those that walked with him, they wanted to walk with him. Even when he tried to shake them off, they wouldn't be shook off. Others were. There came a point in Jesus' ministry where he said there were too many parasites that were hanging on. He said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. He didn't explain it. He turned to his disciples that remained and he said, are you guys going to leave also? And they said, forget it. Where would we go? You alone have the words of life. We certainly don't understand everything that you're saying, but we believe. Hallelujah. So they were convinced. They followed that life wherever it went. Imagine all the things that they saw that life do. And then they're told this very same life will be in you. What an expectation. We say in one sense that they didn't maybe fully know what the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Ghost would be. Because once it takes place, then you can say this is that. I get it. It's been revealed to me. I am what Joel chapter 2 said. Amen? But in another sense, they walked, they held hands with this life. They slept with this life. They ate with this life. They fellowshiped. They saw him minister day in and day out. They saw how he conducted himself, how he lived. So in another sense, they had a good inkling of what this life would be like. They walked with the one that had that life. And they saw what that life did day in and day out. How it made them act. And they saw the power of that life. And everywhere that that life went, they followed it. And now that very same life was promised to come and to live in portion in each and every one of them. And to do the very same thing in them that it did in the man Jesus Christ. When we're young, friends, we often encounter people in our lives that we want to be like when we get older. And actually, that's not just reserved for young people. Even some of us older folk, we see people. I still tell people to this day sometimes, I want to be like you when I grow up. You say, aren't you grown up? I'm getting there. But I'm still here, so I'm still growing. I'm growing in Him. There are things that people, that we see lived out in people's lives that that provoke us unto good works. We can provoke people to a lot of other things, but what we want to do is provoke them to good works. Maybe it's fearlessness that we see in somebody's life, or kindness, or strength, or peace, or confidence, or brotherly kindness, or contentment, whatever it might be. You look at it and you think, I want that. I want to be that way. I want other people to partake of that from my life. Whatever it might be, we might say to them, I want to be like you when I grow up. The disciples, no doubt, they long to be like their master. That's what Christian means. It means to be Christ-like. They long to be like their master in every way. And they never wanted him to depart from them. Now that they'd met him and walked with him, they couldn't imagine life without him. And they were sold out to him. They were convinced that not only did he know the way, but that he was the way, the truth, and the life, just as he said he was. He was the way back to fellowship with Father God. So imagine being told by this very same one, I will come to you. I won't send another. I personally will come. And I will make my abode with you. I'll teach you whatsoever things you hear. I'll be with you. I'll be in you. To the ends of the world. Do you think, knowing him as they did, do you think that they would be able to recognize him when he came to them personally, each and every one? Of course. Listen to this. Brother Rand says, look, Christ in you makes him the center of life of the revelation. Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible the complete revelation of Christ. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. See what God is trying to do? What is the new birth then? You'd say, well, Brother Branham, what is the new birth? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ to you personally. Amen. Amen. See, not you joined a church. It's a good thing, but that's not the new birth. Not you shook a hand. Not you done something different, or you said a creed, or you promised to live by a code of rules. But Christ and the Bible, he is the word that was revealed to you. And no matter what anybody says, what takes place, it's Christ. Pastor, priest, whatever it might be, it's Christ in you. That is the revelation that the church was built upon. And the church says, hallelujah. So when Christ came to the upper room on the day of Pentecost, just as he promised that he would, it wasn't some other one that came to each one that was gathered together waiting for his coming. The very same person of the word that they walked with and talked with along the way was now coming to each and every one and giving to them a portion, feet like pillars of fire, giving to each and every one of them a portion of that very same life that had lived among them and was sacrificed for all mankind. So friends, I wonder how could each of the 120 that were gathered together that day in the upper room, how could they be sure that they had that very same life? How could each of them say, I know? Not I think so, but I know. It wasn't just for Peter to say this is that, but everybody that was filled with that very same life. Peter was the spokesman on that day, but every one of them could say the very same thing. They could say this is that, because he has revealed it to me. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Each one could now say, like Job of old, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Each one could go beyond the ash heap and say, I know that I know that I know. And that very same life, friends, is in the building this morning. Yeah. That very same resurrection power is in the room this morning to show us and to show the world that this is that. Yeah. We're not following cunningly devised fables, and we're not following a story that's 2,000 years old. We're following a present tense God, a living God. And he's doing this morning just exactly what he said he would do. Listen, friends, we don't have to take somebody else's word for it. That's where we start, and that's a wonderful thing. If we can't, Brother Brown said the hardest thing for God to do was to get one man to have confidence in another. So we have to win your confidence first, so that what we tell you, you have a reason to believe. But once we've told you and introduced you to him, now it's between you and him. And now you can say, you know what? What you told me was the truth. What you told me was right. And now I can take everything that I'm hearing and I can run it through the pages of the Bible. And I'm hearing that voice. And that voice in me just confirms what I'm hearing. Because it's the same spirit working through the body. So this isn't just promised to leaders of the church, friends. Or to the early church fathers alone, as the denominations teach. No, he's still in the building this morning, and he's still building his church. And this isn't the building. He's building his church body, and he is still revealing himself to each and every one that he places in his church by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he will continue to do so until the last one comes in. His life is still doing the very same thing this morning that it did 2,000 years ago, and that it's done throughout the church ages. And his life will keep us. And his life will raise us up if we go the way of the grave. And his life will change these mortal bodies. So we read also from Revelation chapter 10, where a mighty angel descends from heaven. And there's a rainbow over his head. Now we were speaking about this on Sunday night. And as we were speaking on these things, I looked up over here and I saw a rainbow. There was so much going on. There was such an anointing. I didn't mention it at the time. There was a lot, quite an atmosphere. But when you talk about him, he comes near. We know the one in Revelation chapter 10, 1 to be a covenant angel. Specifically, the angel of his own covenant that he made with his church. A covenant, friends, is a solemn, formal, binding agreement made between two or more people. In this case, it's the covenant that he made with Abraham. Not if you do this, I'll do that, but I will. And he swore by himself. He swore an oath, and he could swear by no higher than himself. He said, this is what I'm going to do. I will make you the father of many nations. I will multiply your seed. You will have natural seed and you will have spiritual seed. And each one will have an inheritance. And we are the spiritual seed of Abraham this morning. So he's making his promise, his binding agreement. That's what the rainbow represents. He's making his covenant with you personally. And that covenant is, if you'll repent and be baptized in my name, I'll give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. My very own life. I'll be with you. I'll be in you. I will come unto you. I will reveal myself to you. I will declare my word to you. I will do this thing. I will keep you. I will put my seal upon you, which tells Satan you can't touch it. Can't touch that life. You can do everything but take that life. In Revelation chapter 10, friends, the one that descended with the rainbow over his head is the very Christ. And it's the very Christ that's in the building this morning. It's the very Christ that's been building his church and is now in our day getting ready for his church to take his church home with him. It's the very same one that first appeared to Noah and his family in a rainbow after the earth was flooded, after the earth repented and his family was saved. It's the very same one with the light over his head that was on Mount Calvary 2,000 years ago that spilled his own blood on the earth to sanctify it and to claim the elements that make up his body from the earth and the elements that make up your bodies as well. He is the Lamb of Revelation chapter 4, of Revelation chapter 5, that takes the closed book and opens it. He's the kinsman redeemer himself and not another who opens the book in time. And we've learned that that book that we see in his hand is a symbol. And so it's not so much a printed, a collection of pages with words written on it, but it is a symbol of a book with names that are written in it. And each one of those names represents individual people. And this little book is a symbol of those that make up the Lamb's wife. And her identity is found in this book. And so that book must be opened at the end time, and it must be given to her so that she can find out who she is, so that she can find herself in the volume of the book. Her identity is revealed to her by none other than Christ himself. And this little book is part of the book, so it's not a separate book, but it's something that's been hidden waiting to be revealed. He descends, he makes himself known to her personally in Revelation chapter 10, and he reveals himself to her as the theophanic Christ, Christ the living word, by revealing himself to her through his own word. So when you read the word now, it's not, it's different than how you used to read it, and it's different than how historians read it, and it's different than how the denominations read it. When you read it, he's unveiling himself to you. He's explaining what he meant by what he said. And he's showing you, I wrote this, but I'm speaking to you personally. Hallelujah. And her identity is revealed to her by none other than Christ himself. We appreciate the church, and the church has its place, and we appreciate all the different parts of it, but Christ is the center of the revelation, and Christ has to be the one to reveal himself to you. Now, friends, if you don't trust those that God has sent to lead you, you're going to be in trouble. You may think you're special. You may think that you're a set apart, you know, me and God are like this, but I don't trust anybody. Well, there's no way. You're still doubting God because God said, this is how I'm going to bring you to perfection. You say, well, I've been hurt. Well, wasn't he hurt? Well, I've been persecuted. He promised that you would be too. But to counter to joy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. These are things that we have to overcome. He said, well, that's a soft spot. We all have soft spots. We all have things that we have to get over. And in the end, we can say, Christ is the one. I was this way and now I'm that way. He brought me through. I'm not who I used to be. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So he descends from the heavens in a cloud, a rainbow about his head. And he makes himself known to each and every member of the bride body personally. What a general that we serve this morning. He tells her, take this open book that I opened for you. Take it from me. Take it from my hand. And I'll show you in that book who you are. I'll reveal it to you. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I'll show you who I am. And once you are confident of who I am, I'll show you who you are. I'll show you your place in the body. I'll show you your relationship to me and your part for the day that you're living in. What a blessed people we are. So this scene in Revelation chapter 10, it's not something that took place in the past, or something that takes place in the future, but it is taking place in our day. Amen. You say, well, the book was open in 1963, but until it's open to you, it's not open. Amen. He tells each and every one of us, come and take the book out of my hand. And if you have the courage to do that and take it and eat it and become one with it, don't spit it out. It'll become real to you too. It's the present tense coming of the Lord to each one of us personally. Oh, friends, I just feel things that, you know, we strike and then I feel some kind of resistance. Let me help you out. You say, I've got this to overcome or that to overcome. Well, God's going to be pretty big to you when you overcome it. Because if you're one of his children, you will overcome it. You'll get beyond it. If we preach about heroin this morning, if you're not doing heroin, you'll say, praise the Lord. Or if you ever did heroin and you got delivered, you'll say, praise the Lord. But if you're still doing it, you might be a little touchy. And that's your first clue that it might be for you. Well, what you're preaching makes me uncomfortable. That's funny. It doesn't make him uncomfortable. Doesn't make him uncomfortable. I'm pointing at you, Brother Henry. Doesn't make Brother Verlin uncomfortable. But it makes you uncomfortable. Must be for you. Well, hallelujah anyhow. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I like seeing these young men up here on the... our next camp members. Hallelujah. This is just as much for you as it is for me. I'm not better than you. I'm not bigger than... well, I might be taller than you, but... looking at your genetics, you'll probably be taller than me when it's all said and done. Right, Isaac? I look up to you now. Wow. I love Isaac, how Isaac is happy. I want to be like you when I grow up. I think Isaac means laughter, doesn't it? Yeah, you make me laugh. In a good way. Hallelujah. So friends, we recognize that we are now in another Exodus that was foreshadowed by the one that took place in Moses' day, and then again in Jesus' day, the second Exodus. This is the third Exodus that we're in. In the first Exodus, we know that the children of Israel, they were called to leave a physical land that was not their own, and to travel to a physical land that was promised to them. We know in Jesus' day, we were being called out of a spiritual condition to go into a new kingdom, and to move from the law into grace. But we know in this hour that we're moving from a spiritual kingdom into another spiritual kingdom, and from a physical kingdom into a physical kingdom. So it's both. The culmination of it is the body change. So in the same way as the children of Israel, we've been directed to leave the massive confusion of Satan's denominational death camps to journey to our inheritance, a place that's been prepared for us. And there is a spiritual inheritance that we take first, and it is the fullness of the Word of God to you personally. But there's a physical inheritance that awaits us also, but we can't begin to partake of that physical inheritance until the very last member of the body comes in, and then we cross the Jordan together in a rapture and a body change. So our spiritual inheritance this morning is the land of the open word. And the word is certainly being opened to us in this hour. But in between leaving Egypt, which is a type of the world and the denominational systems, and receiving our complete redemption, which is the body change, there lies a wilderness in between. And no doubt when Israel was told, you know, it's time to go into the promised land, they probably thought, yay! We're going to leave Egypt today. You know, in a few days, we're going to be in the new land. They had no idea that it would be 40 years before they entered into that land, and that it would actually be more of the next generation that entered in, and very few from that current generation. And in between Egypt and their inheritance was what was called the wilderness of sin. Friends, you and I, we've left the denominational systems. We've left the shuck and the wheat seed has formed and come to life, has received that life that was in that shuck. And we've come out of that and we face opposition along the way in Satan's Eden. We are opposed on every side. So then the question for us again this morning is, who is it that will go with us? Or do you think you're going to do it on your own? Friends, if we have to overcome in Satan's Eden and get the change of the body, let me just stop right there. When have I misled you? I just want to drive this home. I don't know what to do to cause you to trust. Right? I can't make you trust. Oh, can you put a finger on my life? Have I ever tried to elevate myself and say, follow me instead of Christ? Have I ever said I'm the husband of the church? Have I ever pointed you to anyone than Christ? Well, then listen to what he's, the one that I'm pointing you to. Fear not. And if you claim to have the Holy Spirit this morning, you'll know if there's another voice coming. So what do you have to be afraid of? He said he will lead you into all truth. He will. So if we have to overcome in this last church age, in Satan's Eden, in order to get the body change, who is it that's going to go with us? Who's going to lead us? Is it Brother Branham? Is it some other brother? Is it the church system? It's the Lamb's wife that's in this Exodus journey, right? And she has made herself ready for this journey. But what man would send his wife on a dangerous journey and tell her, I'll see you when you get here? I wouldn't want to, if I was a woman, I wouldn't want to marry a man like that. Christ would not send his own wife on a journey at night and leave her alone. And say, I hope you make it. Don't, you know, there's going to be some spooky things. She's on a journey. And she's on a journey to her wedding supper and to a place that's been prepared for her by her husband. What man would send his wife on a dangerous journey by herself? You and I wouldn't do that. And Christ wouldn't either. And he didn't send the children of Israel on their own either. So he is going with her, just as he said he would. And he is taking full responsibility for her safety, for her welfare, for her comfort, for her needs. Exodus 23:20, which is a shadow of what he's doing today. And yet that shadow is brilliant and wonderful and fully vindicated. Exodus 23:20, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Who was this angel of the first Exodus? Well, it was the Lord himself. We read you the quotes on Sunday night, last Sunday night. It's the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Lord said to Moses, he said, Moses, I will send my angel before you to keep you in the way. And this angel will stand between you and danger. He will lead you. He will protect you. He will guide you. He'll be a pillar of fire by night, a cloud by day. He will encourage you. He will comfort you, heal you, deliver you, protect you. And it's his responsibility to bring you to the place that I have prepared for you. He will lead you and all of the people. Friends, we now have the fullness of the word, once again, Christ. And we are on a journey. And our journey is leading us to step into theophany bodies that are already prepared for us. A body where there's no sickness, where there's no sorrow, where there's no sin in this new body. And it requires a change to take place first in us in order for us to be able to move into that body. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. This is very, very personal. So there's a place that he's taking us to. And wouldn't you know that we just happen to be living in a day where people are asking, where's the world leader? Where's the Messiah? Who can we follow? You know, I've heard this more in the last 2 years than I've ever heard in my entire life. Who can we believe? Who can we trust? Thank God for these things raising up to cause us to see that you can't trust this world. Who can we follow? Who will bring a change in our lives that we can believe in? There's one change, friends, that we can truly believe in this morning. And that's the change of our bodies. As he's changing us from glory to glory. So people today, they're looking for a Superman. They're looking for a Messiah. It was prophesied that they would, and we're living in that time. Somebody to lead them through the mess that the world's in today. And the world is in a mess. But each leader leads us into a greater mess. They're trying to lead us into another war right now. More debt. More empty promises. More hatred. More death, more destruction. There's an expectation for a Messiah, somebody that'll lead us another direction. So then I repeat the question to you once again this morning. Who is it that's going to lead us through all of this mess? Who truly knows the way of escape? Who knows the way out and the way in? There's an entrance that's being ministered to us in this hour. Peter told us that. So if you got a problem with preachers, you're going to have a problem with the entrance. But it's also an escape. As Peter tells us, we're escaping the corruption that's in this world through lust. And we're escaping the judgment that's going to come upon this world for all that reject him. Exodus 33:12, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. We would say it this way in our day, friends. If my name's in your book, you know me by name, and I found grace in your sight, who's going to lead us? You told me to gather these people together for this journey, but you didn't tell me who it was that was going to go with me. Moses was a mighty prophet of God. And yet he knew that he could not humanly take these people over and through all that laid ahead of him. He knew that there would have to be a supernatural being to take the people over into the promised land. So friends, no matter how called of God Moses was, and he was, no matter how ordained he was, and he was, no matter how gifted he was, and he was, he knew that he couldn't take them over on human ability. In fact, he had no confidence. When God called him, he said, well, he brought up his human inability. And God told him, look, I got answers to all of that. It would require a supernatural presence and a supernatural power to take them over into the land. And they would first face the greatest army on the face of the earth at that time, or at least in that region that we know of. And then they would face enemies all along the way. And then the last enemy would be in their own camp. Different isms that would rise up. And that's why there are so many that started out in this last Exodus that are now sitting around. You know why they're sitting around? Because they're honest enough to know that it will take a supernatural presence to lead them through. But they're missing that presence that has already descended and has not ascended again, but is with us this morning. They're missing, the presence of God is unrecognized. So somebody has to come back to do something. Friends, for us to take a body change and to meet him physically in the air, it will require a supernatural power. So Moses asked the question that the church universal ought to be asking this morning. Who is it that's going to go with us? God, you've told us that we found grace in your sight. You told us that. And you know each of us by name. But tell us, who is it that's going to go with us? Verse 13. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, which the Lord told him he had found grace in his sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. So he's saying, if I have found grace, you'll demonstrate that to me by showing me the way. And his way this morning, friends, is his word. And to know his word is to know him. And it is to know his way. His will is his word. His way is his word. So what we are saying this morning is, reveal yourself to me through your word, Lord, that I may know thee. Let your word reveal your word to me personally. Not a private revelation, but whatever you revealed to the pastor, whatever you revealed to your prophet, whatever's been revealed, reveal it to me. Verse 14. Here's his answer. Here's how you're going to know. Moses, here's how you're going to know. You want to know how you're going to know that you found grace in my sight? Here's how you're going to know. Here's my answer. Now, before I even get into it, I want to ask you, do you think God would do something greater for Moses than he would do for his own bride? You think that God has something better? Or is God's ways perfect? And he said, my presence. Hallelujah. Not Christmas presents. Hallelujah. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give you rest. Does that sound familiar? Isn't that what Jesus told us? I will be with you, even in you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. I will lead you. I will guide you. I will comfort you. I'll show you the way through Satan's Eden. I'll anoint, give you the anointing so you can anoint your eyes with eye salve. I'll give you a white robe. Pure and white, which is a righteousness. I will do this. I will do that. I will be with you. I will be in you. You see why we can be so confident this morning? Our confidence. It looks like arrogance maybe to other people, but it's not. but we're supremely confident in Him. He's the only one that can take us through Satan's Eden. And He's here. He's not coming. He's here. It's too late when He comes. I got to get through Laodicea in order to meet Him in the air. I need help now. I need someone I can trust now. I need confidence now. I need rest now. And He said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I." Once again, it sounds like we're speaking out of both sides of our mouths, but we're not. The church isn't going to give you rest. The organization isn't going to give you rest. Christ, yes. The Word. Amen. Not another book. The Word. Amen. The same one. Yes, sir. He will give you rest. Amen. He promised. Amen. Don't worry about it, Moses. Just rest in knowing that I'm going to do this myself. This is such a big job. Moses, you've been stressing. You've been wondering. You've been worrying. You've been fretting. You've been looking at the opposition. You've been looking at the logistics of everything, the ins and outs, and 2 million, and how's this going to happen? You're wondering, how am I going to get them to overcome in Satan's Eden? How am I going to get them into the fullness of the Word, Brother Branham? How am I going to get them into the promised land, Moses? But I'm glad you asked. Because here's how it's going to work. I will give you rest from your labors. My grace is sufficient for thee. But my grace, but my grace. Now, friends, some of us need to have a little grace this morning. We get a little further down the road with God. We look at other people. When this COVID thing was so big, it was hard for me to get a haircut. And it's because we don't have any stylists in the church that I know of. And so our hair got a little shaggy. Not unscriptural, but a little shaggy. And that's all some people could see. That was it. And what they didn't realize is that if you go, first of all, there weren't any stylists for a while. First of all, it was illegal. They were closed. And then they started allowing you to go. And when you went, you realized, you know what? That person is coming in contact with more people very close every day. Right? Now, they didn't keep me from going. When I had the opportunity, I went anyway. But God's grace was sufficient. But to other people, to some other people, that's all they could see. Lord, the one that you sent to lead me needs a haircut. And we're not going any further down the road till he gets a haircut. That just bugs me. I didn't get anything out of this service except his hair is shaggy. Have a little grace. His grace is sufficient. One day you're going to need a little grace. In fact, you need it right now and you just don't realize it. We're not making excuses for... But we weren't breaking the Word. Well, praise the Lord anyhow. Well, I like your new hairstyle. Well, thank you. Now, can you listen to what I'm saying? I'm going to wear a mask. Well, we were wearing masks. I should just put it back on. You know, I am so glad that we only have one video of our messenger with services, right? Because we weren't looking at his bald spot, his hairdo, the hole in his pocket. We were listening to a voice. And the only way you're going to get out of here is to listen to a voice. And it's a supernatural voice. So we're on a journey this morning through Satan's Eden. And Satan's Eden is standing between us and a body change. And a body change for the entire church of the living God throughout the ages. So there must be a people this morning, friends, that walk through Laodicea and keep their garments spotless. Amen. Things are getting worse and worse and worse. Hell is spilling out into this dimension, just as we read about in Revelation chapter 9. And every kind of evil spirit has been loosed to pursue after us. So how are we going to overcome the situations that we face in our lives? How are we going to do it? I'll tell you how. Modern events are being made clear by prophecy. And that prophecy is being fulfilled before our very eyes. Hatred and the resulting crimes, they're on every hand. And we are seeing Satan's thoughts as they are manifested in this dimension before us. How could you possibly make it on your own? You can't. You won't. We need more than mechanics in this hour. We appreciate mechanics, but... So it's not enough to just have the message. And it's not enough to just recognize the messenger. We must have the very person of the message. We must have the angel of Revelation chapter 10, the Christ of all the ages, leading us and guiding us personally. My presence will go with you. How are you going to overcome the corruption that's in this world through lust? How are you going to withstand the attacks on marriage? How are you going to counter Satan's attacks on your children? How are you sisters going to overcome the dominating female spirit of this age? How are you young brothers going to overcome the onslaught of sexual demons such as there never were that are standing on every corner? You've been birthed into the most wicked, deceiving, insane time ever faced in all the ages. So my question for you this morning is, what's your plan? Well, I don't trust preachers. Well, what's your plan? Well, I don't trust churches. What's your plan? How are you going to overcome? Tell me. You must have a plan. But before you tell me your plan, let me just tell you something ahead of time. You are not going to do this by yourself. If you were to do that when you got to the other side, you'd brag about it. You are not going to do this alone. He said, my presence shall go with thee. John tells us a mighty angel has descended from heaven, just as Paul said he would. Paul said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. You're living in that time. Not a weak one, the greatest one. As John told us in Revelation chapter 10, and I saw another mighty angel descend from heaven. My presence shall go with thee. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm not going to go around testifying to you, I'm doing without this and doing without that, and please feel sorry for me. No, I'm not going to call my God a liar. He said, I shall not want. He gives me peace. He has prepared a place for me in the presence of mine enemies. Though the host of hell is all around us, I shall not fear. He has prepared a table for me to feed upon in the presence of my enemies. Hidden manna. Satan never saw this coming, friends. You are feasting on the full body word of the Son of Man this morning. And he is defeating the enemy on every side. He has the answer to every obstacle, every situation. And the word that you're feeding on this morning, friends, is defeating your enemy. Verse 15, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. If you're not going to go with us, I don't want to go. Friends, I have that was my testimony. It still is, but it was my testimony. 33 years ago. Sorry, I'm a little slow. I said 16 quickly last Sunday night, speaking about I was a Christian 16 years and then. But that's the trouble with saying things so quickly. It was 22 years, not 16. But now I've had 33 years. But my question to him was, I need to know you like they did, like the early church did. I need to be able to say that I know. And I can't say that. I believe you're my Savior. I believe on you. I believe that you've answered prayers. I've prayed and you've answered prayers all my life. But I still don't know you personally. And I need to know you personally. And if you don't make yourself... I'm done with religion. I've looked everywhere. I'm done. I want to know you. And if you don't make yourself real to me, I don't want to go on. You say, well, that's an awful thing to say. It's what Moses said. It's what any true believer ought to say. I don't want to venture without authority. I know that I don't know the way. I know that I didn't know the way. I know that he is the way. Lord, if you're not going with us, Moses said, I don't want to go either. Friends, his presence with you shows you that you found favor. Amen. Is it okay for us to say that? Amen. Oh, you're making something of yourself. Recognizing that I've found favor with God is making something of myself. It's making something of him. Amen. I did nothing to merit this favor. That's why it's grace. But I will recognize I have found favor. If you don't recognize you found favor, you won't walk in it. You won't live a life worthy of the gospel. If it sounds like I'm fighting a war this morning, I am. The word is going forth, and it's cutting and it's chopping. But guess what? It's setting you free. Hallelujah. I don't want anybody to come to this church and say, okay, what kind of uniform do I got to put on? How do I got to act? What I want you to do is listen and find him. And I promise you this morning, in the name of the Lord, I promise you that if you'll do that, you'll find him. And when you find him and he reveals himself to you, you'll fall in love. And he'll tell you what to do and what not to do. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. You won't have to look around. Well, they're doing this and they're doing that, so I better do this and that. No, he'll lead you. And you'll do it because you want to. And you'll do it with revelation. I don't blame you for just blindly not wanting to do something. What does that amount to you? any more than I'd want to go to an elk's lodge and put a elk rack on my head. I don't know if they do that, or a moose lodge and put some moose horns on, or say I'm a moose. I ain't a moose. Can't be what you hate. If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. We don't want to go where you're not at. If his presence with you, you know you found favor. You are not going through this Exodus alone. You are not fighting. The battle is the Lord's. There's a mighty one that's here this morning. And he's greater than Satan and all of his angels. He's greater than the power of death. And he's going to prove that to you. And you're going to say, this is that. Verse 16. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in your sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? Well, that's what he just told you, so you're just repeating it back to him. So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. We'll be separated unto you, Lord. Amen. It's his presence alone, friends, that makes us different from everybody else. It's not because we're trying to be odd. Just be what you are. You are what you are. And if you're a Christian, you will be odd to the world. You are a called out and a chosen people. As Paul said, you are the last and chosen generation. Friends, if we were to lose his presence this morning, we've lost everything. When the church of the Lord departs, or excuse me, when the presence of the Lord departs from the church has lost everything. The sad part is, in this age, he has. They've put him out. It's not that he wanted to leave. They put him out. And they don't miss his presence. When your home loses God's presence, you've lost everything. Laodicea has put him out. And they have lost everything. And yet they believe that they have need of nothing. How sad. Verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. He knows my name. You believe that? This message is telling you who you are in this age. That's your name. Your name is what you will do. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. I want to see your glory, Lord. And he said, I will make all of my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I'll reveal my name to you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. You know, we read these things, and everything has to be revealed to us in due time. It doesn't say here, no man shall ever see me and live. But at that time, under the blood of bulls and goats, you could not see him and live. Yet by the blood, by the new birth, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we behold his face in this hour and we live. Amen. The mighty God is unveiled before us. And we no longer are seeing just shadows of him. We are seeing him in all of his glory, the fullness of the word. We see Revelation chapter 10, verse 1, the mighty one unveiled before us. We see his face, we see details, we see eyes, mouth, hair. Moses saw only types and shadows. He saw the shadow of the back parts of a man. But in this hour, friends, the Christ of all the ages is unveiled before our eyes to behold as the veil is lifted at the time of the marriage to the Lamb. We are living in the time of the marriage of the Lamb. And what takes place when they're exchanging those vows? Her veil is lifted and she sees him face to face. Verse 21, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. We went through this, showed you that God has always had a provided place for you to stand. He has prepared a place for you that is by him also in this hour. And it's the same place that David prophesied of in Psalm chapter 27. It's the same place that Moses stood upon. He's placed you upon a rock. It's the same place that he spoke of in Matthew 16. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ to you personally. Friends, that's how you're able to stand in this hour. It's because he's revealed his word to you. Don't be distracted this morning. Take everything that's being said. Run it through the filter of the word. Put your feelings aside. And see if these things be so. Verse 22. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. That was the tender hand of Jehovah. But he's removed his hand for you today. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. We saw Christ in a shadow in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we see him face to face. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. Come up and meet me. It's a type of Peter, James, and John in Matthew 17 coming up after 6 days, which is the seventh day, coming up to the top of the mountain. And Moses was on that mountain too. And he showed him his glory. Did you ever think about that? Whew, that was fresh. Moses never saw him face to face, but he did see him. And no doubt he lived. He saw him in all of his glory. He saw him transformed, transfigured into his coming day. So the law is the back parts. I'll show you my back parts, which are but shadows of who he is. The law tells you what that life's going to look like when it's lived out. But it's coarse. It's veiled. It leaves things open to interpretation unless the one that gave the law is revealing it to you personally. Which is why we need the lawgiver in our hearts. Verse 3, and no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mount. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up into the mountain, Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud. And we don't believe in a cloud. Wasn't the first time. And stood with them there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. So So friends, in proclaiming his name, he's proclaiming his word. He's proclaiming his character. Ask anything in my name or according to my word, and I will do it. This is the confidence that we have in him this morning. Verse 6, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. That doesn't sound like the law to me. That's the God that we serve this morning, friends. I'm going to send my angel. Who exactly is the angel of the Lord? Who will go with us? Paul said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, never to depart. Wherefore, torment one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. Show me thy way, Lord. Let's stand. Brother Doug, how is that an Easter message? Let him reveal himself to you this morning. And you'll witness Easter. You say, I wasn't there 2,000 years ago. You're here this morning. And that same resurrection power is here this morning. That same person is here this morning. The one that promised you. He's not the author of confusion. The one that promised you that he would lead you and guide you into all truth. Not lies, truth. The one that promised you, when you know the truth, it'll set you free from this, it'll set you free from that. Lies is what binds us. Brings fear, doubt, worry, anxiousness. But it's the word that takes away our fear. It's the truth that sets us free. I'm not a loser. I'm not hell bound. Hell wasn't created for me. God doesn't hate me. People don't hate me. I'm not friendless. I'm not lacking in anything. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Friends, you couldn't say that until that word was revealed to you. And he said it. But now it's your word. I am an overcomer in Satan's Eden. I'm on a journey. There's many evil things that we've come across on our path. But which one of them has kept you from the journey? Well, so-and-so lied about me. Did that? Where's so-and-so at now? Well, I was mistreated. Well, where's that mistreater at? Well, I had a pastor that... Well, where's that pastor at? Where are you at? Well, how could you say that? Friends, there's nothing that you're going through that's strange. Think it not strange, the fiery trials that come upon you. You're not going through anything that nobody else has gone through. It's Satan's Eden. Oh, it's so wicked. Duh. You're in Satan's Eden and you expect it to be paradise? Of course it's evil. Of course it's deceiving. Of course it's wicked. Of course everything is trying to prevent you from reaching that body change. But there has to be a body on the church this morning that stays with every word. Amen. First of all, they had to be given every word in order to stay with it. And with them staying with that word, it will no longer hinder those that are asleep. It'll allow the bride of all the ages to come forth and to take up bodies. And Satan knows that. And so he's going to do everything in his power to try to discourage you. He's going to do everything in his power to try to sidetrack you. To try to cause you to doubt. To try to cause you to form complexes. He's going to do everything he can to keep the dead in Christ from coming into this dimension and picking up bodies. But there has to be a people whom the Lord no longer says, I have somewhat against thee. There has to be a people that are clothed in the righteousness of the saints. That he's given white raiment, pure and white. That he's granted to be arrayed in linen that's pure and white, which is the righteousness of the saints. The full word. There has to be. It has to. Or there will be no resurrection. So there has to be a people that are going to keep going. They're going to lose loved ones. And they're going to keep going. Amen. They're going to face sickness. And they're going to keep going. They're going to face discouragement. And they're going to keep going. They're going to be mistreated. And they're going to keep going. They're going to be called all kinds of things for the Son of Man's sake. And they're going to keep going. Oh, it's more than worth it, friends.
Amen.
What is eternity and a body that's worthy of eternity worth to you this morning? Listen, if eternity means living in this same body, I don't want to live throughout eternity. Because this body is a battle. I want a body that matches my soul. I want a body that agrees with the word. I want a body that can't be tempted. A body that's no longer going to be tested or tried. I want a body that agrees with my soul. That agrees with the word. I want to travel like a thought. And not get tired. I want to not have to think about what I'm going to say before I say it.
Amen.
We're not there yet.
Amen.
Until then, I got to run everything, every thought through the filter of God's word.
Amen.
Before I speak. But one day I won't have to worry about what's going to come out of my mouth.
Amen.
Because what will come out is what's within. And it'll be right. It'll be good. But until then, we'll press. We'll fight. We'll stand by that gate of Pentecost so that this young generation can find that same pillar of fire. Come in contact with that same life. That same overcoming power. Oh, it'll be called all kinds of things, but it always has. But it's the very life that's here this morning.
Amen.
The Lord knows the way through the wilderness. I believe it this morning, friends. He has not put, think it not strange, the trials and the temptations that come upon you, for the temptations that come upon us are common to man. But he is, with every temptation, able to provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And as we've said here the last few years, as it breaks on us more, I used to think, we had that scripture memorized in Baptists, and you know, this is part of the washing of the water of the word, the reprogramming of your minds. I used to think that that meant that God was just going to take that trial away from you, but that's not what that scripture said. Said he would, with the temptation, provide a way of escape. In other words, you're still going to go through that. But there's going to be a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So he's going to take me through it. Hallelujah. He's so confident this morning. Aren't you glad that you serve a confident God? I'm glad that my God's not a worrywart. God, are we going to make it? Well, I sure hope so. How about my family? Well, I don't know. I don't know. Yesterday I thought so, but today I'm worried. God, are you going to keep me? I'm going to try. God, have you saved me? I think I have. Are all my sins washed away?
Yes.
Best that I know of. Am I going to have trouble at the great white throne judgment? Sure hope not. Will I even be there? Oh, you'll be there. Can't tell you which side of the desk you'll be sitting on. Man, I hope that somebody makes it. Or all of this was a big waste. Who's going to make it? Hallelujah, that's the right answer. If you didn't hear it, somebody said, I am. That should be, that. If that, you say, oh, that sounds brat. You're not bragging on yourself. Your confidence is in Him. Show me thy way, Lord. How can I know that I've found favor in your sight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, how can we know this morning, on this Easter Sunday morning, in 2022, how can we know this morning that we've found favor in your sight? How do we know that you know the way? How do we know that it's even you that's leading us and guiding us? Father, I'm so thankful that you've made this simple, such that a fool could not err therein. It gets complicated when we listen to complicated questions and other voices. But the truth is, you told us that the very same one that wrote the word would come and live in us and interpret the word, and would do the very same thing today that you did before and that you've done throughout the ages. Doesn't get any more simpler than that. You've given us a pattern, and you've stayed true to your pattern so that we wouldn't be confused. You're not improving or changing or saying, I'll do this and then I'll do that. But if you ever provide a way, you stay with it. So if we can see and believe, as we read about characters in the Bible, and we can see and believe what you did in their day, and then see you do the very same thing in our day, well, then we know that it's you. You told us in Deuteronomy how to test out a prophet. You said if a prophet prophesies, says in the name of the Lord that this is going to happen or that's going to happen, well, then that's a prophet. But if he does prophesy and it doesn't come to pass, well, don't fear him. Lord, if you've said something and you're doing it, well, then that's you. First of all, we don't have to worry about Satan deceiving us by pretending to be you. The way that we'll know that it's Satan is that he can't do what you do. And he can't stay with the truth. It's just not possible for him to stay with the truth. He'll lie somewhere. And he certainly can't bring to pass what you promised to bring to pass. He can't set me free. He can't deliver me from my sin. He can't give me comfort and strength. Oh, he'll give me a perverted form of it to see if I'll bite. But it brings more torment, not less, more. It might give some temporary mirage of some kind of relief, but there are side effects that much outweigh what I was trying to get delivered from to begin with. But Lord, you do what you say you're going to do. Your presence is amongst us this morning. Father, I pray with every head bowed, every eye closed. I pray if there's someone here this morning, Lord, that's hungering and thirsting for life. Not religion, not to be something in somebody else's sight, not a position in the church, but somebody that's thirsting for life. You said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. But we know we got to hear the truth. The truth has to be preached. And we're thankful, Lord, that you've still got ministers to proclaim the good news this morning, that he is risen, that he's alive, that are saying, I know. Father, if there's someone that's hungering and thirsting this morning, I'm confident that if they'll just take you at your word, if they'll dare to step out and trust you, if they'll dare to say, Lord, I'm going to, with no evidence, I'm going to step out and I'm going to take you at your word, believing that you're going to fulfill your word. Father, we know that when we take that step, we have nothing to hold on to except your word. But once we've taken that step and you catch us just as you said you would, and you reveal yourself to us just as you said you would, well, now we have even more confidence in your word because you keep your word. You perform it. How can I know that I found favor in your sight? How can I escape the corruption that's in this world through lust? How can I escape the insanity, the death, the nervousness, the anxieties, the uncertainties of this day? How can I escape the flames of hell? How can I escape the judgments that are going to come upon this world? How do I know this morning that I found favor in your sight? If I have, Lord, show me your presence. Make yourself real to me. If that's you this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed, please don't look around. But if that's you this morning, why don't you just lift your hand? You're not doing it. You're not bowing to a church. You're not giving anything to a minister. But you're speaking to the author of the word. And you're telling him, I want to take you at your word. Make yourself real to me. Show me your way, Lord. Show me your presence. Walk with me. Lead me. Guide me. I want you to be my guide. I can't think of a greater invitation on this resurrection morning, on this Easter Sunday. I can't think of a greater step that you could take in honoring the resurrection than to becoming a witness of it this morning. Where you can say, I know. Just lift your hand up to him this morning, Father. You see the hands that are lifted in the building, and you know the hearts. You know the sincerity of each and every one. Lord, it takes a real desire. And we thank you for that desire, because if we didn't have that desire, we wouldn't lift our hand. It takes an honesty. It takes I'm just trusting in you. It takes a vulnerability. It takes because we're lifting our hand and we're taking a chance. We're taking a chance by taking you at your word. And Satan will say, well, what if he doesn't do this? Or what if he doesn't do that? But God, you will keep your word. You will never turn anyone away. And I'm so thankful for that. Father, may they hold on to your word. With everything that's in them, Satan will try to buffet. Satan will try to bring doubt, try to bring unbelief. But you've given them that promise. It's a promise. And Lord, you will bankrupt heaven before you allow one promise to go unanswered. It is your desire this morning for your presence to be made known to them. It is your desire, Lord, to show them your ways. It is your desire to walk with them in Satan's Eden and take them into a body change and in a rapture. It is your desire to manifest yourself in them and through them and to show all the world that you are risen. To show this lost and dying world that mercy is still here with us this morning. In fact, I can't think of a greater mercy than what's being extended to us in the worst possible hour. The full power of the word is standing on our side this morning. I wonder this Easter morning if you believe that you recognize that voice and that he's your guide, but maybe you've You've allowed your relationship to kind of cool off, and maybe you've listened to other voices, and of course, those other voices will bring discouragement. And maybe you've allowed humanity to get in the way. But you want to say this morning, Lord, I want to recognize your presence in my life every day. Because you haven't left me. You are with me. You are guiding me. You are leading me. Whatever I have need of, instead of complaining, all I have to do is ask. And you will give it to us. You promised to do that. And Lord, if I need comfort, I don't need to go and tell everybody and try to get them to feel sorry for me. I need to run to you. You said that you'd be my comforter. And you cannot lie. And Lord, when I do that and you comfort me, then I learn of you. I learn your ways. I learn of you more and more. And I want to run to you more and more. I realize that we appreciate humanity. We appreciate friends and what have you. But Lord, nobody can do for us what you can do. And we want to look to you for all, everything in our lives. We want you to be our guide. We want you to be our comforter. We want you to be our friend. We want to be able to say, He is my provider in every way. We want to be able to say, Lord, I trust you. And Lord, you'll give me a job where I can come to church. And you'll give me a job where I can serve you and I won't have to compromise. You'll give me a power to walk in Satan's Eden and not compromise. You'll give me the power of your word to keep my garments pure and white, the garments that you've given me, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Father, you put your seal upon me and you said that you've started a work and you'll finish this work. I pray, Lord, that you bless each and every hand that's lifted to you this morning. Father, that you just increase our love, our faith, increase our understanding, Lord, as we walk with you and talk with you along the way. May this just become more and more real as the days go by to each and every one of us. And may you be honored and glorified in our midst. And Lord, if you would tarry, we don't know exactly when you're coming. We expect you to come at any moment, but we didn't expect to be here in 2022. But yet here we are. So Lord, if you would tarry a little longer, Lord, we're asking for this next generation, this next crop that's coming up, Lord, that you would show them your way. So that, Lord, we can pass off the scene, but that light will still continue to travel, that the life will continue in a body here on the earth. Grant it this morning, Lord. We love you and we thank you. We give you all praise and honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Show me thy way. Show me your way.
With all your heart, show me your way.